Bibles, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to feel compelled to read verses 1 to 12 out of Colossians chapter 3. This is actually part 12 out of this passage, and we're not done yet. But if you would follow along, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, or put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." Verse 11, "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Verse 12, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering." Now, we've been in this series for a while, and I'm going to see how much you've been paying attention, because I've used object lessons every lesson to talk about what we should put on, and then we'll introduce another object lesson here in a moment, as you see that we'll be talking about put on long-suffering. So I'm going to, now, raise your hand if you know the answer, okay, and I'll call on you. And if you know the answer to this, okay, we're talking about things from this verse that we're supposed to put on. Now, don't cheat. We just read it, so hopefully I know mine's like steel traps out there, right? So you're ready. So don't look at your verse there. But we'll try to remind ourselves we're supposed to put on. We said every day we get up in the morning, every day we make choices, right? You choose whether to comb your hair or not. Most of us, Larry, okay? I didn't mean for that to be such a personal comment there, but most of us choose to comb our hair. We choose whether we're going to put deodorant on. We choose whether we're going to brush our teeth, and whether we're going to use Crest or Colgate or Pepsodent or whatever. We choose what vehicle we're going to ride in sometimes. If you got more than one, we choose what clothes we're going to put on. We choose on and on, right? Whether we're going to have breakfast, whether we're going to go through McDonald's, whether we're going to get a piece of toast or drink a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever. We make lots of choices. What we've tried to encourage you to do, every day we get up spiritually, we make choices as well. And according to verse 12, we're supposed to put on certain things. Put on certain things. And these are the objects that we've talked about. Of course, Bubba, if you've not met Bubba, you're missing a real blessing. You know, he has never said anything mean to me, and I've known him for a while now. And he's pretty much, his disposition is very even. So that's always cool, right? I like people that are always the same. You know, you make comments about, so, well, every time you meet old Ralph, he's always the same or something, right? You like people like, well, let me tell you, Bubba's like that. So if you've not met him, he's kind of he's holding down the fort up here, okay? So we looked at this. Can you tell me what this is? Okay. Close. I mean, yeah, but how does the Bible put it specifically? Bowels of mercies, right? Bowels of mercies. And the Greeks looked at the bowels as the center of emotion of a person. We would say heart of mercies. And really, if you look at that word mercies, it's kind of the idea of compassion toward other people. So one thing we should do is put on these glasses of compassion, right? So every day when we get up as a child of God, say, I know Jesus. And in those verses we read, that's one reason I like to read those verses. We're not supposed to be like we used to be. We're supposed to be different. And part of what should distinguish us as different are the things we put on when we get up, like glasses of compassion. Now, sometimes these glasses of compassion can be basically glasses of anger. We look at people like, I can't believe her that way. I can't believe they treated me that way. I can't believe that they believe that. I can't believe that they're, in this certain position in life. I can't believe. And if we're not careful, and we should be righteously indignant about the sins of the world, absolutely. But we got to get to the point that we view the people in particular, that individual person, through glasses of compassion, right? All right, so put it on. Some reason, y'all look a little less than enthusiastic tonight. We're going to have to, what do you think about exercises, Amy? Should we do exercises tonight? No, she said no. All right. Now, then we talked about this. Remember this object. It is what? Now, I'm going to start kind of slow, okay? This is what? Kindness. So I was going to say a smiley face, okay? Smiley. I started really low, okay? This represents kindness, so we're supposed to put on kindness every day. And you say, well, kindness is more than a smiley face. Well, if you remember, every time we bring this up, I believe kindness should start with a smile. Let's practice. You know, sometimes when we smile for pictures, it looks so phony, doesn't it? It's like, eh. But think about the old timers. They didn't even smile for pictures. You see those, look like mad. What friend did they just lose or something, you know? Because they're all staunch and serious. But really, kindness ought to start with a smile. And as I've said every time, the smile ought to extend to our fingers in acts of goodness and kindness to people and to our feet, going the extra mile and doing things for people as well, extra things for people. So, kindness. So, every day, glasses of compassion. We're supposed to put on kindness. And then a couple of your favorite characters here. Y'all remember him? Tiny Tim. Now, y'all taken a real liking to him, haven't you? Now, what was the idea of Tiny Tim? Humility or humbleness before other people and before God. And the real purpose was him being so small is the way we're really supposed to view ourselves in light of God, definitely, and in light of other people. If we really have a smaller opinion of ourselves and our view and our intelligence and all that, again, not to be a doormat or something like that, is not what I'm advocating, but it's an all-in attitude. And we're supposed to see ourselves as Tiny Tim or humble before other people. And we're supposed to put that on every day. So glasses of compassion. We're supposed to put on kindness. And we're supposed to put on humility. Now this other character that we, I think this was last week, wasn't it? Do y'all remember this guy? Meek Mike. That's kind of hard to say, isn't it? Well, everything's hard when you're from southern West Virginia, right, Gwen, to say Meek Mike. And you can just look at those big old brown eyes. You know, this guy here, meekness as far as toward God. And it's not weakness, remember. It's kind of like this by nature. You know, humility they're definitely closely linked together. I had a hard time really kind of telling them distinctively apart completely. And so both of them are really small, small opinion of ourselves. But by nature, we are supposed to be meek individuals. You know, not know-it-alls or arrogant somebodies or things like that. We're supposed to have, and we talked about it, that it is part of the maturing process. I mean, really. I mean, if you've been a Christian a while, you ought to have a meek inner nature. You should have an attitude that I don't know everything, and I'm definitely a work in progress, and it's a lesson for all of us, right? Meekness. So Meek Mike. All right. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about, it says, put on long-suffering. So can anyone tell me what this is? It's a timer, okay? So, see, brilliant bunch, brilliant. I'm telling you. Now, this timer, you know, I can set it to go off pretty quick, or I can set it all the way. This one is an hour timer. So I can set it all the way to an hour all the way for an hour if I want to. And this thing's ticking right now. It's like, don't be worried. It's not a bomb or anything. It's just a timer. But you say, what has that got to do with long-suffering? Now, you ready for a really cool little Greek lesson? I'm sure Jason would be tickled to hear that term tonight. He had his Greek test today, and he's not exactly sure how it went, but he's really working hard at it. Greek. The word for long-suffering here is it's a compound word. It comes from two different Greek words. Are you ready for this? This is really, really, really profound. The first word means long, and the second one means temper. So, long-suffering means you have a long temper. Isn't that cool? Now, you know people, and the Bible talks quite a bit about controlling our spirit and the self-discipline that we're supposed to have. And a lot of people that you're sometimes around, even as Christians, I've been around some Christians, and boy, their fuse lights quick. Let me tell you, and they're very, very short-tempered, right? Yeah, have you been around anybody short-tempered? Now, come on, I'm going to make sure. Everybody been around someone that's been short-tempered? It is not a good, godly quality, okay? But really when it says here long-suffering, the idea is long-tempered. Long-tempered. So short-tempered is you say one word against me, I'm mad. You know, you just fly off the handle. A lot of expressions we use, fly off the handle, short-fused or whatever. The opposite of that is what you and I are supposed to put on every day. Long-tempered or long-suffering. Now, I was amazed as I looked at Scripture that all the applications that there is of this term, long-suffering. Long-suffering. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And I gave you the outline for tonight. I almost thought about being mean and leaving blanks in it. And making sure everybody had a pencil or a pen to write in the blank. And I thought, nah, I'll be nice tonight. I'll give you the whole thing. I even gave you the Bible references there. Because there's quite a few of them. And I don't want to spend forever just turning in our Bible trying to find the references. Okay. Don't you wish you could change your internal battery that quick? When you get tired, just go put a new fresh set of batteries in your body. Like, hey, our batteries died there for a moment. But we're going to look at put on long suffering. We've already looked at the verse and read it. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and now long suffering. If we're going to look at the outline there first. There's 6 points to that outline, and these verses correspond to the outline, okay? And I found this really interesting, some parts of it more so than others. But in Scripture, the idea of being long-suffering, it says, Paul, the prophets, Abraham, and others showed long-suffering. The Bible commends them for showing this long-tempered, if you will, or long suffering. They didn't. Here's the outline. This was such a rowdy bunch, Gwen. I wasn't going to give everybody on this side an outline, but now that you've asked for it, I just thought I'd look at it being perplexed the whole night. Oh, it was just this front rowdy bunch didn't get it. You were probably misbehaving at the time over here, knowing that y'all four, five, Amy's in the bunch too. All right, point number one, Paul, prophets, Abraham, and others showed long-suffering. Let's just look at the verses there. We'll hit them pretty quick. The Bible commends them for their long-temperedness, if you will, being long-tempered. It says, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. Now, this is Paul writing to the Corinthian church, and he's talking about himself. You know, I've gone through all these struggles and all these problems, and how did I do it? And one thing he mentions, their third phrase over, if you will, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering. How did he go through all that? Well, he had a long temper, right? You know, people that are short-tempered get into a heap of trouble. Paul was long-tempered, and he still got in a lot of trouble, right? But would he have gone through, been able to go through all that without being long-suffering? Let's see. The next one, he writes to Timothy. This is still Paul. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith. There it is again. Long-suffering, charity, and patience. So Paul says, hey, you've known that I've shown this long-temperedness, this long-suffering in my life. It's part of who I am. And then if you look at James chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, just talking about the prophets here, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of what? Patience. Sometimes this word is translated patience, even though there is somewhat of a distinction between them. It's the same Greek word that's used. And then also it says in the next passage, or Hebrews 6:15, talking about Abraham. It says, and so after he had patiently, there it is, endured, he obtained the promise. Now what did Abraham have to wait for? What did he have to wait for? He had to wait for his son. Because I forget exactly the amount of time. I'm thinking it was like 10 years, but I could be off on that. That, you know, God said, I'm going to bless you and give you a seed. And then he waited and he waited and he waited. And finally, God did give him a seed, right? Through Isaac. So he showed long suffering or long temperedness, did not get upset, at least to a fault, too bad. And so he showed that. He's commended in Scripture. And in Hebrews 6:12, it talks about even others. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience, there it is, inherit the promises. So we're commended. I don't know about you, but I want to be commended by God. Don't you? I mean, someday? Absolutely. Y'all looking perplexed at me. Everybody good? Okay, all right. I want to be commended by God. These people, Paul, prophets, Abraham, and others, showed long-suffering, and they were commended in Scripture. The second part of this is, not only does the Lord expect long-suffering from us, or long-temperedness from us, the Lord shows us that same long temper. It's a good thing that you're not God. It's a good thing that I'm not God. Remember, I've said this. There'd be a lot of ashes, you know, like, what? Where did Sonny go? Oh, Sonny? Did he have some sinus problem? No, there he is. He's right there. He's got, zoop. And the same thing, I'm not picking on you in particular, Sonny, but I had to come up with somebody. I thought I saw you there, so I thought, well, let's pick on Sonny. Then the same thing with me. If you were my God, you'd probably say, I've had all that guy. He just messes up and messes up and messes up. He just completely zap. There you go. But aren't you glad that the Lord shows us long-suffering? 2 Peter 3:9 is right there. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as what? Long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that a good thing? Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering to us? I'm thankful for that. He's still working on me. Remember that little song chorus we sang? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the sun. The sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Yeah, okay. But it goes on to say he's still working on me. I'm glad that God is long-suffering to us, right? Because we're all a work in progress. So the Lord shows long-suffering to us, but also he shows it to the lost. If you want to go down that list a little bit further, Romans 2:4, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance? And there it is, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Wow. You see, before you were saved, I think God showed you long-suffering, right? And the people that are lost in this world, the Lord hasn't come back. We're going to talk about that, I believe, in just a moment. But the Lord's not come back because he's long-suffering. He wants to see more and more people saved. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, as the Lord shows long-suffering to the lost. It says, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Do you know how long it took Noah to build the ark? 120 years. 120 years. And Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So during that 120 years, Noah was preaching righteousness and get right with God, right? How many did he convert? Zero. But 120 years, God was long-suffering to sinners and gave him the opportunity. Now, he does the same for sinners today. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, that says, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, but according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Did you see that? The long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. You know, if the Lord had, or God himself, God the Father, had struck you down the first time you sinned, we'd never grow out of just being a baby. Hardly, right? But he's long-suffering to us. He doesn't give us what we deserve. He's long-tempered, if you will, and allows us the opportunity to get to know him, to be saved. I'm thankful for that. Aren't you? All right. 1 Timothy 1:16, right there at the bottom of the page, the first page, and it's front and back. It says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, it says, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Aren't you thankful that he even showed Paul long-suffering? Remember what Paul was doing? Paul was persecuting Christians. I mean, he was wanting to kill Christians. He was indirect opposition to Christianity. You know, we see some today. We say, boy, they're just right. They're just against Christians. Can God still save them? Wouldn't a lot of our political problems be solved if those that hate Christians got truly born again? Have you ever thought about praying they get saved? Hopefully you have. But God, in his long-suffering, allows us to continue many times in our sinful lifestyles as lost people in particular, and even as saved. He shows long-suffering so that we'll get right with the Lord and be saved. So, put on long-suffering. Paul, prophets, Abraham, and others showed long-suffering. The Lord shows long-suffering to us and to the lost. Thirdly, preachers are to show long-suffering. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. His admonition to Timothy, the younger preacher, says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. So we preachers, we need to make sure that we're long-suffering or long-tempered, right? You don't want a preacher that flies off and throws hymn books at people. I'm joking. You look at me like, You looked at me so serious, some of you. I'm kidding. Okay? I mean, but really, you don't want a preacher to throw hymn books at people. I mean, you don't want a preacher that's just like, you know, just instantly quick-tempered. They don't necessarily do real well as preachers. I mean, I'm not saying that I don't ever struggle with that. And, you know, there's a moment that I'm like, you know, but we need to make sure that even our preachers are long-suffering or long-tempered. I'm telling you, some people just want to crank the clock of the preacher. I'm not speaking or thinking of anyone in this church, but I've known people, and boy, the only thing I can figure out, they must be motivated from by the other side, not by God's side. And they really want to get under the skin of a preacher, and they do mean things sometimes. I remember this one fella, he's with the Lord now. Remember Bill Shannon? Little Bill? He stood about this tall. He was a preacher, very mild-mannered guy and everything, and he told the story that one day he was getting up to preach, and he got up to preach, and he couldn't find his notes. You know, I mean, you can say whatever you want to about notes, but without notes, my sermon would probably be a lot more disorganized. And I realize that, I don't know, to me, I don't think it's sinful to have notes. I always have notes. I know where I'm going. Remember, I'm an engineer too. You never stop being an engineer. But anyway, he got up to preach, and his notes were gone. And this, I'm not telling you, this is a very, I mean, if you had the opportunity to meet him, this is a very nice, mild-mannered guy. But boy, someone in the church had taken his notes on purpose. And I believe, that's the most animated I think I've ever seen that little fella. And he said, I told him, don't you ever mess with my notes again. So I say that to say, you know, some people, I don't know sometimes exactly their motivation, or they get it in for the preacher and then they automatically try to undermine his ministry and all those things. And so preachers are to show long-suffering or long-temperedness as well. Number four, I don't know if you realize this or not, but long-suffering is a quality of agape love. Remember that self-sacrificial type of love that we're really supposed to have for each other and for God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, there, verse 4, the same word, it says, charity suffereth long. Right there it is. Charity suffereth long. That doesn't mean it makes you suffer when you show charity. No, it's basically saying that charity is long-suffering. In other words, it's long-tempered. Now, I know we use, this applies to more than just the husband and wife relationship, but you need to show your husband or wife, your mate, patience and long-suffering. Because guess what? You ready for this? I know this is going to shock some of you. But your spouse is not perfect. Oh, here we go again. I'm not going to say anything about you if you don't say anything about me, okay? But so we need to make sure that we aren't short-tempered. I mean, how many marriages have really suffered and I'm sure ended over one or the other in the relationship, in the marriage, being so short-tempered? So this set tells me that charity, this agape love that we're supposed to have for God and especially for those the ones we're married to, this self-sacrificial type of love, really involves having a long temper. I mean, we should be able to take a lot before we blow up. Long-tempered. Like a timer? All the way set on the hour? Okay. Two more. Number five, long-suffering is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, how many of these things that we've looked at to put on, it's a fruit of the Spirit? Look at Galatians chapter 5 there, verse 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. By golly, there it is. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. What I primarily think of when I say something is a fruit of the Spirit, if you're born again, if you're truly saved, you should be able, with the power of God, to show this long suffering or this long temperedness, if you will. You say, preacher, that's just not the way God made me. You know, if you only knew my grandma and my grandpa, and sometimes people blame it on the color of hair that they have. They're redheaded and they got a temper, and I'm redheaded and I got a temper. Fortunately, I don't see any redheads here. Is anybody? Yeah, too bad. Megan, you got a little. Okay, now it's time to pick on Megan for a while. But I mean, really, you know, well, you know, I come from a German background, and we Germans, or we Irish, we got, you know, or we. Listen, if you got Jesus in your heart and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, that overpowers redheads, Irish, Germans, and family and everything, right? You should, with God's help, yes, true, you may struggle with it more than other people because of fill in the blank. But when I say it's a fruit of the Spirit, and the Bible says, most importantly, that it's a fruit of the Spirit, that tells me that since it's a fruit of the Spirit, and if I'm saved and have the Holy Spirit living inside of me, I should be able to show people long-temperedness, right? Amy and I ate somewhere once, not too long back, we were close enough to the table next to us, and we're not positive about this, whether they had the same server we did or not. And to be honest with you, our server was not Miss Personality, all right? She was not, but she wasn't mean or anything like that. She was just matter of fact. You know, I like the ones that, you know, that are real friendly and smiley and, you know, real congenial and helpful. But, you know, not everybody, I guess, is wired that way. And she wasn't. And I'm not sure if she had that same table or not. But I saw the manager come around, what I took to be a manager, and I could overhear some of these words. And they were just giving the manager an earful about how bad their server was. You know, and I'm not saying that they were or weren't really justified in that, but we have to be careful as Christians, right? Hello? Right? We have to be careful as Christians. Part of that long suffering, part of that being long tempered in everyday reactions we have to people. I mean, what? You know, I'm thinking, wow, hope she doesn't lose her job. I mean, because they were just like, oh, she's just been terrible. She's not been helpful, and she's been snooty. And I'm like, whoa. I'm paraphrasing, but basically they weren't they, giving her down the road. And I'm thinking, that would probably be a pretty good place for you and I to show long suffering. Don't you think? I mean, we really don't know. I mean, we've all had probably, whether we go to McDonald's or whether we go sit-down place or whatever, we've probably all encountered servers or people at the counter that have not been that friendly. But are you being more Christ-like by being short-tempered or being long-tempered? Long-tempered and showing long-suffering, okay? All right, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And there's also, we're told to be long-suffering in other places as well. If you look at those last few verses, it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, in particular, I imagine the context of this is, because it says forbearing one another in love, this is, we're supposed to be long-suffering toward fellow Christians. Take just a moment and look at the people around you. Okay, now look up here. Look at me. Okay. Either when you was looking around at people around you or looking up here at me, you viewed an odd duck. You know, that's one of the terms that we use in our family, odd duck. You know, sometimes I talk about, yeah, they're kind of an odd duck, aren't they? You're going to encounter in the Christian life, even here at Oak Mound, you're going to encounter some odd ducks. And just by our personalities and all, and God's working on all of us, and I'm not excusing sin or anything like that, but I'm just saying you're going to encounter some odd ducks, and you can either be quick-tempered about it when they do something a little odd, as an odd ducks do odd things, duh, right? So when an odd duck does something odd here at Oak Mound, you're like, I mean, you can get all mad and flustered really, you know, just, or you can be long-suffering or long-tempered. I believe in the context of that verse, even among Christians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. God gives us the power to be long-suffering. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded. And boy, that's a full-time task for this preacher. There's a lot of unruly people in this church. I'm kidding. Comfort the feeble-minded. And there's a bunch of feeble-minded. No, I'm kidding. I just couldn't help but say that. I'm joking. It says, support the weak. And then here it says, be patient toward all men. That's the word, long-suffering, the same Greek word. Show long-temperedness toward all men. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, the same verse we've been looking at, our text. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. And then last sub-point even here, it says, we are told to be long-suffering to others, but we're also told to be long-suffering unto the Lord's coming. Look at the last passage here, James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, say folks, unto the coming of the Lord. See that word patient? Same word. Okay? Be patient. That's the verb form of it. Be patient, therefore, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. And then it goes on to say, be ye also, there it is, patient, long-suffering, that is, long-tempered, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I don't know, you may sometimes have days that you're like, wow, I can't believe the Lord's not come back yet. I really need him to come back and rescue me about now. But we are even supposed to show long-suffering toward the Lord's coming. Every day we get up, okay? Set the timer long, okay? And when that person that irritates you the most, just grinds you the most, sometimes you got them in your life whether you like them or not. Sometimes you got them in your life and you can't avoid them. You work with them or you go to school with them or you're neighbors with them or they're part of your family or I don't know. Set the timer long time, right? Set the timer, longest setting. And when they get on you and you want to smack them, just say, ugh. God's got this. I'm a Christian. Lord, you may have to utter one of those prayers. Lord, help me to be long-suffering, long-tempered toward them. And when you do, you're showing forth what a Christian ought to be. So every day you get up, set the timer long. Again, you're going to encounter people, most likely, most days, that you got to show some long-suffering toward. And I think everybody here, as far as I know, you want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. And when I set the timer long and show long-suffering or long-temperedness, I'm looking a lot like Jesus when I do that. Do they deserve it? Not necessarily. Are they right? Not necessarily. Are they a real pain? Probably. But regardless, showing long-suffering, long-temperedness toward other people is part of our mission in life. Who knows that person that we show that long-suffering toward, who knows what an impact it may have on them? Because they're expecting us to act like the world. I mean, they're expecting us to raise our voice and get really upset and maybe start calling them names or something and maybe let a cuss word slip out here or there. They're expecting us maybe to even get a little violent there, maybe just kind of, or something like that. Ouch. The point is, we're not supposed to do that. You may be able to lead them to Jesus by showing someone long-suffering. Again, I'm thankful for God's long-suffering toward me before I was saved and after I was saved. I'm thankful for his long-suffering. He set forth the example. He says it's a fruit of the Spirit. He says if you really love someone, you're supposed to show them long-suffering. You and I set the timer long when we get up. Say, you know what? Water off a duck's back. We talked a lot about ducks tonight. Should have had a duck. Just let what people say and do to you be like water off a duck's back. Say, you know what? I'm not going to let it bother me. I got my timer set long. I'm not going to be quick-tempered. I'm going to be long-tempered. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way, but if God has spoken to your heart in this area of being long-suffering toward other people, I'll stand up here and say it's easy. It's not. Sometimes it's really, really tough. But if God has spoken to your heart that you could do a better job of showing long-suffering or long-temperedness, if you will, would you ask God to help you forgive? Maybe you start out and say, God, forgive me for not being as long-suffering as I should be. And then just ask for God's help in that area. Say, Lord, help me to set the timer long when I get up. Put on long-suffering. Set the timer long and not to flare up at other people. Not to show myself like my old nature probably wants me to do. Would you just take a moment and ask God for help in that area?